problem was that some of them thought that since the Lord's coming was so near, what they did is they quit their jobs. They quit their jobs, and what happened was the other mature believers had to support them. And because of these issues and many others, Paul wrote to them this second letter. And so this is what we're going to be looking at in these three chapters here of 2 Thessalonians. And because of the persecution that these Christians were going through, Paul decided to deal with that area first as he was sharing and talking about their faith and how their faith was so strong. And you know, as I do, when you go through times of suffering, when you go through times of persecution, it tends to draw you near to the Lord. Amen? I mean, because you depend on God. You want Him to bring you through this. You depend on Him to show you His will and what He has for you in your life and your family. So in this first chapter, Paul actually is going to encourage them. And there's three different areas that I want to look at tonight, three different ways, rather, that Paul is going to encourage them. The first is he praised them. Notice what he says here beginning in verse 1. He says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Notice that. I thought that was so awesome. And the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Notice the love with each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God. They had such a powerful testimony of their faith in the midst of persecution and their love for each other that Paul says, man, we're telling other churches about you guys. I mean, you guys are totally awesome. Look, he goes on here in verse 4. For your patience and faith, and in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Now, the first thing that we see Paul doing here is what? Of course, after his greeting to the church, he starts to praise God for what God was doing in their lives. You might remember back a little while back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 18, Paul was telling them that in everything, whatever they did, whatever they were going through, whatever was happening in their lives, he said, always give thanks. And you guys know it's hard, isn't it? It's hard, especially when you're dealing with things. And it just seems like those things won't go away. They just stay there. Paul said and told them to give thanks. Now, I'm sure that they didn't consider themselves to be very spiritual with the things that they were suffering. But you know what? What's awesome about it? Paul noticed that God was doing something among them. And you know, when you're suffering, when you're going through something heavy, maybe in your life, maybe it's with your family, maybe it's with your job, maybe it's finances, who knows what it might be. It might be your health, whatever it might be. When you're going through something and you're suffering, you and I don't really see what God's doing in our lives. But you know what? Other people, other Christians can. And they see you clinging to that cross. They see you holding on to Jesus, holding on to His Word, and taking His Word to heart. And you see, that's what God wants us to do. He wants to hold on to them. But through this time of suffering, you can bet one thing's for sure. He's bringing spiritual growth in our lives. That's why He allows suffering. Guys, that's why He allows trials and tribulations. Someone has said, a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. Especially you, if you're a new believer, you need to understand this evening that faith will be tried, because this is the way God proves whether or not your decision for Him was real. Whether or not you really are born again. It's when you go through something heavy. Do you go to the world or do you go to God? Man, that's heavy. Because there's many times I want to go to the world. I want to go to the doctor. And we should go to the doctor. But yet, what about something novel? Let me give you a new revelation. How about maybe praying and ask God to do a work here first before you go to the doctor? How do you know God might not want to take care of it? You'll never know. I got a feeling when we get to heaven, we're going to see all the times when God was was waiting for us to pray and seek him on behalf of something we were dealing with, and he was going to answer, and we didn't. And so what we ended up going through, we went through because of me. Because of me. God allows us to go through times of tribulation and persecution in order, number one, to strengthen yours and my faith. It strengthens our faith. If your life was always easy, you know what? You wouldn't have to have any kind of a faith because you'd cruise through life. I mean, we are going to be set up with walls in our lives, man. We're going to hit walls. We're going to hit dead ends. I mean, you're going to have people as nice as you can be, as loving as you can be, as compassionate as you can be, as graceful as you can be. You are going to have people that are going to want to get in your face. And they're going to try to come against you. And a lot of times, unfortunately, it's people that you love and you try helping all the time. You're helping them. You ever feel like you're helping somebody and it seems like every time you do, you're getting kicked? The more you help them, the more you're getting kicked. And it's like, why am I doing this? I got brains. And God says, you're doing it because my son did it. My son did it for you. That's why you maintain your witness before them. We all know about the hall of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Well, you notice as you read that chapter that all the men and all the women that are listed in what we call the hall of faith, they all suffered in one way or another. Man, some of those brothers and sisters faced some tremendous obstacles. Tremendous obstacles. And the reason why was so that their faith could grow. Now you might say, well, wait a minute, Rick. There's a guy in there that got sawn, some of them got sawn in too. That's not going to make your faith grow. You're going to die. Well, you know what? God knows what he can trust you and I with. And God's never going to allow something like that in our lives unless he can trust you. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like sometimes God feels he can trust me with an awful lot because of what I go through. You know? And sometimes I go, man, Lord, you know what? You got me borderlining sometimes. You know, I'm ready to bail this thing, man. You know, just why don't you just take me home? You ever feel that way? You ever pray that? Lord, just take me home. I want to start my eternity now, man. I don't want no more trials. I don't want these tribulations. I don't want to deal with people like this. God's saying, welcome to the club. Amen. Hallelujah, brother or sister. You know, because he deals with this ongoing, man. He deals with you and me. Just imagine that. I mean, we think sometimes we're having a rough time dealing with our spouse or one of our kids or maybe a mom or a dad. Try dealing with the whole population of the world. That's what God's got on his shoulders. But he deals with it. You see, Paul prayed for these believers in Thessalonica. He wanted their faith to be, in a sense, perfected. He wanted their faith to be perfected. And you know what? I think it's awesome here because here Paul is thanking God for answering his prayer. Because that's what God was doing through it. And I know many times suffering can tend to make us selfish. But you know what? When suffering is mixed with grace and faith, what happens? It produces love. Things that I've gone through in my life, and other people might be going through it, you know what? God automatically gives me a kindred and a love for them because I understand what they're dealing with. I know what they're going through. And you know, I can bear witness to that. Galatians 5:6, when Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, he said this, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. But notice, but faith working through love. Faith working through love. You see, guys, when we suffer as Christians, what happens is that we depend on God through our faith, and we end up reaching out to others in love. When we're suffering, it's when you're not feeling good. It's when you're going through a trial in your life that because you're hurting so much, you see someone else going through a trial, that you end up coming alongside them and loving them and praying for them and counseling them. You see, that's what suffering does in our lives. makes us sensitive to one another. Because we're hurting, we know that person's hurting too. And that's how God works in his body. Jesus said in John 13:35, he said, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, for the love you have towards one another." The love we have. I mean, look at us. We come from all backgrounds and walks of life. And yet as Christians, God has filled us with his Spirit. And guess what? We're family. We're family here. You know, think about it. We tend to take care of our own personal family, our kids, our moms and dads, you know, our brothers and sisters. How much more the church of God? Why? Our physical family is temporary. Guys, this is eternal, man. We're going to be together for it forever. I mean, if our minds could even comprehend that, I think it would blow us away. You see, their suffering didn't stop them from sharing love with others who were suffering. And that's the awesome thing about it. And that's what Paul was praising God for. The Greek word for patience could be translated perseverance. In Romans 5:3, it says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations." Notice, knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. It's when you're going through a trial and there's nothing you can do to make it stop right now and make it work. There's nothing you can do to fix it. You know what God is doing in your life? He's producing perseverance. Because it's like, "God, I don't know what else to do but trust in you." God's called, "All right. All right, that's what I want you to do. That's what this is all about. Because I'm preparing you for the time when we reign together in my millennium and throughout eternity." You see, there's only one way to be patient and persevering. Only one way, guys. Church, listen to me, man. It's by suffering. It's by suffering. Paul used several words to describe their situation. Notice the words. The first word was persecutions, which literally, in the translation from the Greek, that word means attacks from without or trials. He used the word tribulations, which literally means, listen to this, pressures or afflictions that result from the trials. And I like this one. In verse 7, he used the word trouble. You know what the translation from the Greek text in the New Testament is for trouble? It means to be pressed into a narrow place. I mean, you're squeezed into a narrow place. I felt like that before. Have you ever felt like that? You felt like you were being pushed into a little teeny-weeny box? I mean, just squeezed in, pressed in? I felt that way many times. I mean, see, what we need to understand tonight is that our trials work for us, not against us. And see, how many of you know it's so easy to get the mentality, "Man, God, are you mad at me? God, is there something that I've done or said that you're paying me back for something?" You ever feel that way? Like God's paying you back for something? Well, that's not the case. You see, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 15 and 18, he said, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many," notice, "may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, church, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing." Even though this old guy is getting old and older. Even though I'm getting closer to the grave. Notice, "yet the inward man, the Holy Spirit, is being renewed day by day." I love that, man. He said, "For our light affliction, which is only for a moment." Now, that's when you have the perspective of eternity. When you're thinking of eternity. What we're dealing with here is only for a moment. It's like smoke. That's here a moment, and then it's gone. He said, "which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which aren't seen are what? Eternal." looking on the temporary. I look on the temporary, man. And you know, I was sharing with the guys today when we got together to pray. I said, you know, right now it's like every time I turn around, I'm looking on the here and now. And I'm letting it sit on my shoulders. And sometimes, you know, when you're dealing with something like that and it's resting on your shoulders and your heart, it tends to feel overwhelming at times, doesn't it? And I go, what am I doing? I know better than this. And I said, Lord, you know what? That's not my problem. It's your problem. You take it. I'm not going to worry about it. That's your problem. You deal with it. And, you know, we've got to give it to him and let him take it. But how many times do we give it to him and then 10 minutes later, we take it back and we start worrying about it again? God says, will you give me that and stop it? You know, like Dad used to, you know, whack upside the head, you know, give that back to me. You know, okay, here. And it's like, you know, it's almost like we don't learn. Trials. You know that we are to count it all joy when we fall into various trials? When I first read this as a young Christian, I mean, I got to be straight out with you guys. When I read this in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, when James says, my brethren, count it all joy. Joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces, here it is again, patience. But let patience have its perfect work. Notice that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Man, when James said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, I thought, you know what? Here's a guy that was doing some serious dope, BC. I mean, how can you count it joy when you're going through trials? There's nothing joyful about it. I mean, you get fired from your job. You're driving home. Oh, praise God. Man, God, you are awesome. This is exciting, man. You know, my last paycheck's coming in Friday, and you know what? We have no savings account. I love it, Lord. It's awesome. Is that how you react? No. Get out in the car. You slam the door. I'm not listening to Christian radio today. Mom, K-Rock, you know. Man, that's it. Hit-banging stuff. You know, you're driving home. You know, listening to that junk on the radio. You get in the house, you slam the door, shut the door, sit down, turn on the TV. You're upset, man. You're mad. You're thinking, where am I going to get the money to keep the bills on, to keep the lights on, the electricity on? What am I going to do? Where am I going to get a job? I've worked there that many years. Where am I going to make that kind of money to provide for my family? And God's sitting up there, just got his arms folded, lovingly looking at us, just thinking, you ain't got a clue, do you, son? You don't have a clue. What is this compared to eternity, man? You see, God doesn't want us to have strokes. He doesn't want us to have heart attacks. He doesn't want us to stress over tomorrow. I mean, what does his word say? Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, for sufficient is the things of today. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow, so why are we tripping on it? Why are we worrying about it? If the lights get shut off, praise God, it's summer and the sun's out longer. Amen? I mean, that's a blessing. I mean, you know, I'm speaking to myself first, man. I mean, this is for me. It's incredible. And I find when I trust God and I yield to him, I find that my trial that I'm going through produces patience. And you know what ultimately happens? It brings maturity into my life. And you know, think back, those of you that have been Christians for a long time, think back when you first got saved. The trials you were going through were a whole lot lighter than they are now. But you see, God knew that you couldn't handle it then. As you grow, as he begins to use you more and more, what happens is he gives you a bigger and greater trial. He won't give it to you unless he knows you can deal with it, because his word says, and God's not a liar, his word says that with the trial, he will always give you a way out. Always. He'll never give you more than you can handle or bear. And how many times are we like on the edge? Man, Lord, I'm right on the edge. I feel like I'm going to fall off. You ever feel that way in your trial or what you're dealing with? God, I'm on the edge, man. I'm on the border. I'm ready to go ballistic, you know. And God's saying, calm down. Calm down. Get in my word. Get my word in you, man. Get my word in you. And you know what? He helps you through that trial. Man, I mean, you know, if it wasn't for... I did pray when I got saved that night. I prayed, God, give me a hunger and thirst for your word. If it wasn't for that hunger and thirst, guys, I'm telling you right now, I would have been out in left field 15 years ago. I wouldn't have lasted this long. I would not have been able to endure what God has allowed me to go through. I would have never endured that. I would have taken my life. I would have done something. It's only because of him. It's only because of my discipline of myself to be in this word every day of my Christian walk for 25 years. You see, the more that he can entrust to you, the greater he's going to use you. If he can't entrust anything to you because you're going to go off the wall with it, he's not going to entrust you with it, man. And you're going to spend your whole Christian life praying and wondering why God didn't let you do these desires in your heart. And it's going to be because you weren't growing with them. You couldn't handle it. There are certain things that happens as you grow and you mature. The trials get greater. The persecutions, the sufferings get bigger. But he knows you can handle it then. You see, if you can't handle it, then it shows where you're coming from and where you are. You see, I've learned that if I kick, if I fight against the circumstances, I'll stay immature and impatient, man. I'll never be able to deal with it. I got to roll with it, man. You know, God allows trials that he might build character in yours and my lives. Oh, man, what God wants to do. You know, if I was to ask you guys how many of you enjoy going through trials, I bet nobody would raise their hands. I don't enjoy going through trials. I mean, especially when it hurts my family members. That's even worse. Because I'll lay my life down for my family. And when I don't want to see them, I'd rather take the brunt. I'd rather take the hurt. I'd rather take the hit than to see my wife or my daughters or my grandkids get hurt or take the hit. I'd rather do it. But then when it happens to me, in my mind I'm thinking, Lord, is my wife closer to you than me? How come she never goes through trials? I mean, what's this? You know? No, I don't think that. She does go through the trials. Both of us. We've gone through trials since the beginning of this church that if we were to just tell you guys, you wouldn't even, you wouldn't even be able to have a concept of what it was like and been like. It's just incredible. But you know what? It's one of those things. This life is so short. Whatever we're going through is going to come and go. But eternity is forever. And you see, what you're planning right now with your faith, with your spiritual walk, the investment that you make, coming here on a Wednesday night when it's 85 degrees in here, you know, coming Sunday morning when you feel like sleeping in because you don't get to sleep in through the week because you work 6 days a week. It's an investment that God sees and he goes, all right, all right. You know that little thing you wanted? Oh, man, I got it coming. I got it coming, and I am going to blow your wig right off your head, man. You are not going to believe it. You know, you are so faithful. I love you, man. You're just consistent. You're there, and you plow through, even if it's mud, if it's snow, if it's sleet, if it's ice, you're plowing through for me, man. I am going to blow your socks off. Oh, wait till you see. You know that? Do you know that guy you've been praying for? You know that husband that you want to beat with a rolling pin every night when he's laying there in bed? Oh, man, just one, God. Give me one. One shot. God says, oh, you wait. I'm getting ready to do something in his life that, oh, you're going to wonder, now, where is my husband? Where'd this guy come from? or that wife? Or that kid that is going off the wall? Walking, boom, into the wall, you know. Boom. I mean, this is their life, you know. And you're trying to help them and turn them, and it's like, give me a little, boom, you know. Wait till you see what God does in their lives. Oh, man. You know? people think more of me than what I am. I'm human like everybody else. All of us pastors are. We're just like you guys. You know, God, just in his grace and his love and his mercy, has allowed me to come up here and study and teach his word and give his word to you through me. I mean, what an awesome, awesome responsibility. You know? And yet I go through those things. But I can't tell everybody. I can't share with everybody my trials, my struggles. So I have a handful of men that I'm accountable to outside of a bunch of senior pastors, Calvary pastors that I fellowship with. Yesterday, I mean, it was awesome. There was, every last Tuesday, I go down to Pastor John Miller's Red Barn down there in San Bernardino. And there was 18 guys there, 18 Calvary senior pastors. And just to be able to hang out with them, to pray with them and say, man, you know what, you guys, you know, right now I'm going through this. I mean, you guys ever go through that? And to be able to share with these other pastors and not have them go, man, dude, you are weird. You're going through that? What are you doing pastoring a church? You know, I mean, you don't get that. Because you see, sin is like a cycle, man. It's like a circle. You know, things you might have been tempted with before that God has delivered you, man, you don't even have to worry about. It comes in cycles, man. You go through all the various temptations and everything. I mean, it comes and it goes. You know, one month it might be me, and then 2 months later it's you. And then 3 months later it's this guy over here or this sister over here. We all go through it. Why? Because we're human. Why? We've got this sin nature, man. We got this sin nature and we're trying to live a holy life before our God. We're trying to walk uprightly before him. That's our total desire. Guys, I am dead on serious with you. When I gave my life to Christ in 1981 on that night, my very first prayer was, God, thank you, and before I ever go back, kill me. Man, kill me and take me home. I don't want to bring shame to you, Lord. I love you. I want you to use me. I want to be so invisible. I want to be so in the back scene so that people see you. Man, so that you can be used mightily. Man, I don't want to be nothing but whatever you want me to, wherever you want me to go. And all of a sudden, God starts sending you in these places. And it's like, wait a minute, God. You know, what'd I do wrong? Well, wait a minute. Didn't you say, you know, like Isaiah, here I am, send me? Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, I don't want to go in all areas, just, you know, a couple of areas. God goes, no, man. If you're going to be obedient to me, you're going to go wherever I send you, right? If you're going to trust me with your very next breath, with your life, you're going to go where I want you to go. And I said, Lord, you know, that's my heart. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Now, God, I might not like it, but I'll do it. Wherever you want me to do, God, my life is yours. It's hidden in you, man. I stand or fall before you, God. You can take me home right now. You can wipe me out right now. I know that. I'm so aware of that. Whatever you want to do. And you know what? That's where the peace comes in, knowing that you're in that kind of a will with God. 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Notice, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God, why did you allow me to be a drug addict? Why did you allow me to be an alcoholic? Why did you let me get into things that I shouldn't have got into? Why did you let me do all those things in the back streets in the dark? Man, I could have gotten killed. I could have gotten shot. Why? You know what? I believe a good reason is because I can share with people who are coming out of that lifestyle, man. Coming out of those things. You know, people that were thieves, people that were drug addicts, people that were alcoholics, people that didn't know how to tell the truth. I know the mindset. I know the mentality behind that. And I'm able to share and minister the truth in the gospel. gospel with them. I love it, man. You know, I'm not proud of all that. You know, it's very humbling. But I know that my life is hidden in Christ. And I know for 25 years now, as I've kept my eyes on Him, the author and finisher of my faith, He is going to see me through come hell or high water. Amen? And He's going to do that with you too. He's not going to let you drown. There's not a chance. You're His kid, man. I don't care if you're in rebellion tonight against Him. You're still His kid. He loves you, and He will go out of His way to try to get you on the right track. Because He wants to bless you, man. His desire is to bless you. The word translated faith from the Greek in verses 3 and 4 can actually be translated faithfulness. In other words, think of this. Follow with me on this. We reveal our faith in God, notice, by our faithfulness of life. We reveal our faith in God by our faithfulness of life. People can tell your faith by your faithfulness as you're being faithful to the Lord in your lives. These believers were faithful to the Lord and to one another in spite of the trauma and the issues that they were dealing with and going through. They remained faithful. I love that. You know what? I want to hang around with a brother or a sister I see and I know they're going through drama. And they're going through the mill. But you know what? They're plugging forward. They can smile in it. I want to hang out with them, man. I need some of that. I want to hang out with that. And you see, that's what God's looking for. That's who God's looking for. You know how easy it is to hear something? Hear something negative and to be upset over it? Especially when it has to do with friends or family members in the body here. You know how easy it is to catch an attitude over it and to get uptight? And yet we're to be like Jesus. We're to love people. You know, the only thing that's going to win people over and strengthen and their faith in God and bring maturity in their lives is by the love they see us demonstrate for them. I would have never accepted Christ if my wife shoved Him down my throat every day. It was because she showed me the love of Jesus Christ. She served me when I was 150% mean to her. Saying things to make her cry. Throwing things up against the wall. Breaking things. And she'd just humbly go over and clean it up. She'd pick it up. I'd throw my food because I was on the phone talking to one of my partners and it got cold. I'd throw it up against the wall. She'd go over there and she would clean it up, pick up the broken pieces of plate, throw it away, and fix me a brand new meal hot. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with you, woman? Has the pot finally gotten to you that you're smoking? I mean, what's with you? I couldn't figure it out. Why she loved me so much? She's seen somebody else, man. That's why she wants to go to church. She's seen a dude at church. I'll go and see who that punk is, man. I mean, that was my mentality. I'll take my gun. I'll waste the dude, man. Stinking creep move in on my wife. I was such an idiot. I can't believe it, man. It was the love she showed me of Jesus Christ. It was that love that I saw. And even though on the outward appearance it looked like I was kicking, I wanted that. I seen the peace in her life and the way I was treating her. I wanted that peace. I'd do anything for it, man. I was tired of the way I was living. You see, when a person is having a tough time and ends up forsaking the Lord and the church body, the fellowship, he shows that either he's never been born again or that his spiritual life is very weak. Bottom line, that's what it is. A true Christian who is growing will be faithful no matter what comes in his or her life. They'll be consistent. I mean, you'll see the marks of maturity in the way they conduct their lives and live because they love the Lord. Secondly, Paul reminds them of the promise. What promise? Look at verse 5. He said, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and to give you who are troubled rest. Notice that. with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed. I love that. From heaven with his mighty angels. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day, he will be glorified in his saints and be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. No matter how tough your present circumstances may have been, no matter what these believers were going through, bottom line is, Paul was reminding them this, and guys, you have to remember this. Your future is not only secure in Christ, but it's an awesome future that God has for us. In fact, the sufferings were actually evidence, Paul says, of the righteousness of God and that he was working out his plan in their daily lives. He was working out his plan for them. You know, we at times tend to think that suffering is an indication that God doesn't care. How many of you ever thought that? When just the opposite is true. Just the way we act in times of trial proves to others that God is at work. Notice what he says here in verse 5. That you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. This was one of God's purposes in allowing their suffering. It doesn't mean that their suffering earned them the right to go to heaven. We know you have to be saved to go to heaven. In his book, Richard L. Mabu, in his book, Rediscovering Pastoral Ministry, it's a book that we started to go through yesterday at the pastor's meeting, he said this, we submit that God will use his word as the benchmark by which he will commend or condemn our labors in his church. He will not inquire whether a ministry was traditional or contemporary, but he will ask, was it biblical? Was it in accordance to the word of God? Our ministry will either be in accord with his will or in opposition to it as the scripture expresses it. And I love it. All scripture is inspired by God. Profitable, notice, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Notice that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. It's all going to be according to his word. And he's going to use that word on us. Jesus never promised that our life would be easy here on earth. In fact, he actually taught that we would have to face some pretty hard times. And he said, you know what? You guys are going to face some radical battles. You're going to face some radical battles. Remember when the disciples came to Jesus and he says, man, you guys, hey, Lord, when we come in your kingdom, can we sit on your right and left? And he says, hey, man, wait a minute, man. You guys have no idea what you're asking. He said, are you willing to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? He says, indeed, you're going to drink that cup. You know what? He told us there in Matthew, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you, my disciples. Guys, we're going to go through it. Bottom line, Matthew 5, verses 10 to 12. Blessed are those who are oppressed or persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Notice the reward here. He said, rejoice, man. Be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Guys, there's a reward that comes with it, man, for endurance, for standing the test, for standing strong. And you know, it's so easy to bail. Oh, gee, any one of us can. I'm not going to church no more. You know, forget it, man. Christians, we need to understand that when we're living for eternity. It's not just for the here and now. I mean, Scripture tells us that what's done for Christ is going to last. It's not what we do for ourselves. The Scripture teaches that we walk by faith and not by sight. Notice the words that Paul used to describe what those that mess with us are going to be dealing with when Christ comes back. Listen to these words. Tribulation, vengeance, flaming fire, punishment, everlasting destruction. You know what? God's going to repay. He's going to take care of business. He's going to deal with people exactly the way those people dealt with us. You see, when God repays, here's what you need to understand. When he repays, he will pay with the same measurement that was used on us. Because as you follow the scriptures, as you look at history of mankind, there is a law of compensation. You know, it's like it says there in Galatians, God is not mocked. Wherever a man sows, that will he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he'll of the flesh reap corruption. If he sows to the spirit, he'll reap of the spirit everlasting life. There's a law of compensation. Think about it. Remember Pharaoh? Pharaoh tried to drown all the babies in the Nile River, the Jewish babies. What happened to his army when they chased after the children of Israel when they were going across the Red Sea when God parted it? When Moses, God used Moses to part it. He drowned all their army. I mean, I think of Haman. Haman tried to totally wipe out the Jews. And what happened? He and his sons were hanged on the gallows, man. His family got wiped out. We're studying in Daniel. How about the advisors, the leaders of King Darius? Hey, you know what? That Daniel, he broke your law, king. You know what? He deserves the den of lions. And the king, of course, had to put him in the den of lions. But what happened to those leaders that advised that? The Bible says that them, their wives, and their kids were thrown into the den of lions. And the lions tore them up bone by bone before they even reached the bottom. A law of compensation. The unbelieving Jewish leaders who sacrificed Christ in order to save their nation would in a few years in 70 AD have their own nation, their city, and their temple burnt and destroyed and their people scattered for 2,000 years. Mark 4:24, Jesus said, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you." Guys, if you remember anything, remember that. When you go to deal with another person, with the measure that you use, if it's anger, if it's bitterness, if it's hatred, if it's frustration, or if it's love, with that measure that you use, that's what will be used on you. That's what God will use on you. You know what, man? That has become so real in my life. It causes me to have more compassion when I'm dealing with somebody. Because, man, this is all going to pass away soon. It's all going to be gone. It is a righteous thing for God to judge sin and condemn sinners. I mean, because a holy God has no choice but to judge sin. Man, how many of you have ever heard someone say, "I can't believe that a loving God would judge sinners and send people to hell"? How many of you heard that before? Well, you know what? The problem is that they don't understand the holiness of God and they don't realize the terribleness of sin. Yes, God is love. Yes, God is light. But in his holiness, he has to deal with sin. You know what? Tonight, whatever this date is, May 31st, 2006, let me go on record as saying this. God never sends anyone to hell. He never does. We send ourselves by rejecting the free gift of salvation that he has wrought for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He's provided it for us. Notice that Paul uses the word vengeance. Now, vengeance isn't the same as revenge. The purpose of vengeance is to satisfy God's holy law. The purpose of revenge is what? To satisfy something personal. I'm going to take care of this dude later, man. It's cool. You know, let him have his fun. You ever feel that way? The fact is that God sent his Son to die for the lost. And you know what? His desire is that they return to him, that they come back. But if they decide not to know God, if they decide not to obey his gospel, there is nothing left for God to do but to judge him. He has to judge him, man. I mean, I'm not being harsh. I'm not being critical. This is God's plan. This is his law. And the Scripture says this judgment will take place when Christ returns to this earth with his church, with his holy angels. And at that time, we will receive our rest as believers. And you know what's cool about that word rest translated from the Greek means, listen to this, relief, release, not under pressure. It's the opposite of tribulation. It's all going away, guys. It's going to fade. Thirdly and lastly, he prayed for him. Look at verse 11. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It was the future hope of glory that actually motivated the Apostle Paul to pray for them, because he knew what we had coming. I want to close with these three things that Paul was praying for them. First of all, that they were counted worthy of this calling. Verse 5, Paul had said that he wanted them to be worthy of the kingdom when they entered into heaven. Notice here that he emphasized their present situation. You see, God's calling was in grace and love. And Paul's desire was that they might live up to that calling. You see, guys, understand me tonight. Trials don't make a person. They reveal what a person is made of. Now watch somebody going through a trial and it'll show you what they're made of. It'll show you their depth of their spirituality. You see, when our faith is tried, we are literally revealing our worth as a Christian. And this is what Paul is saying, man. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Notice that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to what? To praise, to honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When he comes back, guys, we're standing. We got our shields up. We got 50 million darts in them. They're on fire, man. But our shields are up. We're on the front lines doing battle when our Lord comes back. That's where I want to be, man. And I know that's where you guys want to be. Doing some serious damage in the kingdom of hell for the glory of heaven, man. That's what I want to be doing when he comes back. Secondly, that their walk would be in faith and power. See, his prayer was that they might be empowered by God to do what God was calling them to do and wanted them to do. Zechariah 4:6 says, that's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by God's Spirit, says the Lord. I can't do nothing. You can't do nothing. That's where the patience and perseverance comes in. God has to do it. If we believe, trust, and rely on God, guess what? He will give us the power that is needed in our lives. Guys, he'll take care of us, man. And you know, it's easy to teach that. It's easy to teach it and sense it and feel it. But 4 hours ago, I was giving up the ghost. I mean, you know, I was feeling overwhelmed. And it took the other guys on staff to just reach over that table and, oh, okay, I understand now. Thank you, guys. You know, I just need a good whopping, a good slapping, that's all. I need that every now and then. That's what I miss about Dad. Boy, I enjoyed that when he used to do that. I thought clearly afterwards, amen? After I woke up on the other side of the room, that what hit me. We can't be victorious in our tribulations without trusting him. Thirdly, that they would keep and continue their witness. Guys, as believers, we have to have an ongoing witness for Jesus Christ. It has to be ongoing, and we have to seek to glorify his name. Notice verse 12. According to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ, as we receive his grace, Paul is saying, we reveal his glory. This is where the peace comes in from the Lord, as we live totally for him. Paul wrote in Romans 8:18, and I'm going to finish with this in a story. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. been a drug addict and you need a fix, man, whoo. I mean, that one is straight to the veins. That's 100% pure. That thing ain't cut with anything. It's straight God. Okay, now I'm slanging out a little bit. But you know what I'm talking about, right? An elderly couple passed away, and they found themselves at the pearly gates. Peter was there to welcome them. First, he showed them their mansion. The man, overwhelmed by the sheer luxury of it all, asked, "How much does this place cost per night?" Peter replied, "Sir, this is heaven. It doesn't cost anything." Then Peter took them to the dining room, where table upon table was piled high with the most delicious food you could imagine. Again, overwhelmed by the glory of it all, the man asked, "How much for the meals?" Peter said, "You forget. This is heaven. It's free." Peter then took them out back, where they saw a fantastically beautiful golf course. As a man stood there open mouthed, Peter said, "Now, before you ask, there are no green fees. This is heaven. Everything is free." The man looked at his wife and said, "You and your confounded bran muffins, I could have been here 10 years ago." You know what? We desire to go to heaven. I want to go. But I want to go when God wants to take me. Amen?